We know, we're told in the end, in Parshas Vayechin, the end of Sefer Bereishis, that Yaakov wanted, Bikesh Yaakov, Rashi tells us, that Bikesh Yaakov, Zimagala the Kates, Yaakov wanted to reveal to the brothers, to his children, he wanted to reveal to them, Achris Hayyavim, Rashi tells us, that Bikesh Yaakov, Megalas the Kates, and his document on Shechina, that as he was about to do it, the Shechina left him. He was concerned, perhaps, there wasn't within his children, they weren't shalem, they weren't deserved of something. And therefore he was pasach b'shma Yisrael, they said Baruch Shem, and the rest is history. The obvious question, which the Mefarshim don't seem to address directly, is why didn't Yaakov have the opportunity? Why? Lemaisa, in the end of the day, there was a test done to see if they were not shalem. They passed or they failed? They passed. They said Baruch Shem Kol Machzor Olam Vaed, and Yaakov was happy. So why Nistakhu Menu Ashrina? He wanted to be Megal the Kates. He lost it. He thought it was because they weren't right. But they were right. So why Nistakhu Menu Ashrina? Why didn't he reveal the Kates? Why wasn't he able to? And I think the simple answer, perhaps, is that it's because it's prohibited. You're not allowed to reveal the Kates. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us of Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, the first source on the sheet. We'll see at least five sources that seem to Aser being Megala the Kates. The Pasuk that the Gemara is commenting on is the Pasuk from Habakkuk. Ki od chazon lemoed, take a look on top of the source sheet, because another vision of the appointed time. I will speak of the Kates, or they will speak of the, or the Kates will be spoken of, and it will not deceive. Im yismamea chakelo, if it tarries, if the end of days doesn't come, chakelo, wait for it. Kivo yavo, it will come. Lo yacher, it will not delay. It's a little strange. What do you mean? It will not tarry. If it's tarrying, if it's delaying, wait for it. Because it'll come. It will not delay. Not so clear exactly what's going on. That's going to be a common theme we're going to see with Psukim that seem to speak about the Kates, is that they're not so clear. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Mai vayafech lakates v'lo yachziv, Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar of Yochanan, Tipach atzman shel machashvei kitzin. The bones should decay of those who try to calculate the Kates. Shehayu omrim, because people will say, Kevan shegiyas haketz v'lo ba, shuvein oba. They're going to say that once the time that has been the Kates, again, the Achas HaYamim, the redemptive time when Mashiach's going to come, they're going to say once that time has come, and the time that it's supposed to come has arrived, and Mashiach has not yet come, shuvein oba. That's it, maybe it's too late, he's not going to come. As the Pasuk says, that you should wait for him. So from the Gemara, it seems like the reason that we're not supposed to do Chishuv HaKeitz is because, let's say you pick a day, and that day passes, right? Like the guy standing in Times Square holding the sign that says that the end of the world is coming, you know, tonight at midnight. The end of the world is coming, and then when you wake up the next morning in bed and everything's fine and the world hasn't come to an end, or Mashiach hasn't come yet, or whatever was being talked about hasn't come yet, so you start to lose faith. You lose faith in the people who are saying it. You lose faith in the system. And that's why the Gemara seems to suggest that you need to believe in the Geula. This is actually one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Yikarim. The Rambam's last of the Yud Gimel Yikarim is, right, is it number 13 or 12? 12. What's 13? Good. So 12 is Mashiach. So we're told in number 12 that a person has a chiyuv to believe that Mashiach will come and to wait for Mashiach. So that's why the Gemara suggests a person should not do it. Now the Mabit, in his Sefer Beis Elokim, the Mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. The Mabit writes in his Sefer Beis Elokim that perhaps, or based on this Mabit here, it's on the source sheet, another reason is because if you have a date, let's say we say Mashiach's going to come next Tuesday. So between now and next Tuesday, I'm not waiting for Mashiach. I'm not anticipating him coming today. The famous Griz is Madaik in the Rambam, that the Chiyuv to wait for Mashiach is a chiyuv every single day. That every day a person has to wait for Mashiach, wait, expect and anticipate that the redemption can come today. So if somebody tells me through his prophetic powers that next Tuesday is going to be the day that Mashiach comes, so between now and next Tuesday, I'm not really anticipating that he's going to come, because I have this nevuah that it's going to come next Tuesday. So no matter whether we're talking about when the date passes and then you'll lose faith that it will ever come, or if it's because of this idea that comes out of the Ma'abit and Beis Elokim here in Perek Chamishin, that if you set a date, so that until you come to that time, you're not going to have faith. L'maisa, it's very clear in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Tzadizayin Amud Beis, that a person should not be involved in Chishuv HaKetz, trying to figure out or revealing the Ketz. There's a Pasuk in Daniel that also suggests this, and from here it's for a different reason. Pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Aleph of Daniel, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Hey. Now, much of Sefer Daniel, you know, parts of Sefer Daniel are written in Aramaic. Much of Sefer Daniel speaks about very esoteric nevuahs, specifically those regarding Tchias HaMeitim and Achres HaYamim. The pasuk here tells us, Umin HaMaskilim Yikashlu. There will be wise men who mess up. Litzrof Bohem. They're going to be clarifying these words, Uruvareru Lulabein Ad Eitz Ketz. And they're going to be trying to make clear and to figure out the end of days. Ki od lemoed, it is not yet the time. Okay, sounds like a pretty esoteric pasuk. Rashi comments on the pasuk and says, "What does it mean? There will be wise men who will mess up." Yikashlu b'cheshbon akitzim, sheyitnu lev l'tzarfu l'ravnam l'daso sam yitzu bohem. There are going to be people, that's how he understands the pasuk, there will be wise men who will be Yikashlu. Why? They're trying with Tzareif Bohem, Uruvareu, Uruvabein, Adetz Ketz. They're trying to figure out when the Ketz is. Killed them away, but it's not yet the right time. They're messing up. Another reason the pasuk in Daniel tells us, this is source number two, why shouldn't we be involved in Chishuv HaKetz? Because you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up, you're going to have the wrong date. Not because people aren't going to have the proper emunah until then, or because you're going to mess up. Source number three, Mesechtos Ketanos, Mesechtos Derech Eretz, third source on the sheet. Perek Hayotze Halacha Yud Gimel, Rav Yossi Omer, Hanose Nesa Ketz, Ein Lo Chelek Liolam Haba. A person who tries to reveal the Ketz, Ein Lo Chelek Liolam Haba. He loses, he forfeits his portion in Olam Haba. Very harif line here. No reason given, but we certainly, if I asked you, is Chazal pro Chishuv HaKetz and revealing the Ketz, or anti? So this source would certainly be one that you can chalk up on the anti side. Number four, another Gemara in Sanhedrin. Each of these Gemaras are unique, or each of these sources I are trying to present unique sources. This is the Gemara in Sadi Zayin Amad Aleph. Ki hadu abizera, ki avi mishkach rabbanim dema'aske bey. The Gemara here is talking about Chishuv HaKetz. And the Gemara says that when Rav Zeira used to find people who were doing Chishuv HaKetz, Amar Luhu, what would he say to them? B'metusa, b'me'ina minaychu lo tachikuhu. Please, my friends, please don't distance and push off when Mashiach will come. D'tanina, shlosha bon behesach hadas. There are three things that only come when you're not focusing on them. The Eluhain. Mashiach, a Metziah, and an Akrav. The Messiah, a lost object. When you look for an lost object, you don't find it. But when you're cleaning under the table to pick up the marbles that you dropped, that's where you find Uncle Henry's glasses that he couldn't find when he came to your house last Hanukkah for the Hanukkah party. And an Akrav. When you're not looking for a scorpion, that's when you find a scorpion. Now, what's the mashmos of the Gemara? The mashmos of the Gemara is that when you think about Mashiach, he's not going to come. If you're sitting there cheshbening and trying to figure out, then he doesn't come. It's only when you put it out of your mind that Mashiach's going to come. Now, what do you mean? You can't put it out of your mind too much. You have a mitzvah to anticipate every single day that he's going to come. But Rav Zeira understood that this statement, this meimra, was referring to people who do a cheshbening of the Ketz, and he would say to them, please stop, because all you're doing is pushing off when the Mashiach's going to come. That's source number four. Source number five is no longer in Tanakh or in Chazal, but for us it's very close, and that's a Rambam. The Rambam speaks in Mishnah Torah very strongly against being osek in these types of things. And this is a world-famous Rambam, one that you should know, you should commit to memory, and be able to quote it often, because it's very, very important. The Rambam here tells us, in the very end of Hilchos Malachim, where he knows that everybody loves to talk about Mashiach, and loves to speak about Tchias HaMesim, and people love to ask questions like, well, when I come back, am I going to be 2, or am I going to be 20, or am I going to be 80, and am I going to come back, what clothing am I going to be wearing, the clothing that I'm buried, and everyone loves to ask questions about this. And the Rambam tells us, this is highlighted by Rav Sajigon in his Emunas Vadeos, that ha'ara that I just made, about people asking these types of questions. Amru Chachamim, Ein Bein Olam Hazel, Imos HaMashiach, El Shibud Malchus Bovad. This is the sheet of Shmuel in the Gemara. That some people understand that the Messianic era is going to be this tremendously, miraculous time period where, you know, all these crazy miracles are going to be happening all the time. You're going to, like, pick money off of trees, and steaks will be, like, floating through the air for you to eat. The Rambam says that's not the Pshat. The Rambam says that the only difference between this world, meaning this existence, and the existence in Imos HaMashiach, is only Shibud Malchiyos Bovad, that we will not be Meshuabad to the Malchiyot. We're not going to be enslaving, we're not going to be subjugated and subject and subservient to the other nations. Yilim Pshutan Shal Divrei HaNeviim Shebetchilas Imos HaMashiach Tiyem Melchamas Gog U'Magog. It seems like from the Pashas of the Psukim that the beginning of the Messianic era is going to be the war with Gog U'Magog. And before that happens, there's going to be a Navi who's going to come and he's going to strengthen us. Some people say that before Yemos Mashiach, what's going to happen? Eliyahu Navi is going to come. No one really knows what's going to happen. Achiyu, until they actually happen. Shadvarim Stumenhein, they're very sealed. We don't have a Mesorah in these types of things. We can only try to figure out what's going on in the Psukim. And therefore there's machlokas regarding this. You should realize that trying to figure out what exactly is going to happen in the Messianic era is not really a major focus of our religion. You really shouldn't waste your time with these types of things. Don't sit there I'm going to read all the midrashim about Yemos Mashiach, I'm going to finally figure it out. Certainly don't make them your primary learning. These types of things don't bring to Yira and don't bring to Ava. And certainly don't start trying to calculate the kates. Amru Chacham, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, Tipach Rucham Shamachash Ve'akitzim, that the bones should decay of those who try to figure out the kates. Ela Yechakeh V'Ya'amin B'Chal HaDever K'mo Shabayanu. Rather, just wait, have faith, the day will come. These five sources, four sources, two Gemaras in Sanhedrin, one Pasuk in Daniel, one Maseches Derech Eretz and the Rambam all speak very strongly against doing a chishuv of the kates. And l'chora, we should be able to stop here. There shouldn't be much more to discuss. However, I'm about to say, you think, however, there are five gemaras or three gemaras that say not like that. No, there are not gemaras that say not like that. What's the problem? The problem is the reality. The reality is that throughout our history, big people have been involved in Chishuv HaKetz. First of all, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, doesn't tell us it's okay, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that many, many Amoraim were involved in trying to figure out the Ketz. Rav Sajigon, in the 8th section of Rav Sajigon, it's quoted by Rashi, Rav Sajigon actually presents a Chishuv. He takes one of the Pesukim in Daniel, he tries to work with it, and he works it out, and he says, I think what it's trying to tell us is that Mashiach's going to come on such and such day. Now remember, Rav Sajigon lived in the 10th century, the 900s. Rashi quotes Rav Sajigon. Do we have it on the source sheet here? I think it's going on the Pasuk down here in the bottom of in Daniel, Parak Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Take a look at this Pasuk on the bottom. This is one of those Aramaic Pesukim.
Umilin litzad ilah yamaliel. They speak words. He speaks words towards the elevated one. Ulekadishe elyonin yivaleya, and he exhausts or he wears down the holy ones above. The yisbar lahashnaya, and he plans to change zimnin, the seasons, vidat, and the laws. V'yityavun biyadei, and it is given over to him ad idun, until a time, v'idunin, and times, uplag idun, and half a time. That's the pasuk says. He's going to speak words towards the elevated one. He will plan to alter times, and it will be given over to him the time and the times and the half a time. So this last expression, the time, the times, and the half a time, are understood by people to be a reference to when Mashiach is going to come. And Rav Sajigon tries to figure out what this means. Some type of time period, and then that time period again, and then a half. So two and a half of something. And it's quoted by Rashi. Rashi goes through a cheshbon on that pasuk. Yeah, we have it on the top of the second side of the source sheet. Kate Sussum, who said this line here, Idun, Ad Idun v'Idunin u'Palag Idun, Kate Sussum, who said Kasher Nemar l'Daniel Sussum Advarim. This is some type of esoteric hint to the end of days. And he says, I even saw a custom b'shem of Sajagon, that this is a reference to Aleph, the Gimel Meos, the Lamed He Shanim. 1,035 years, so to count from a certain time period, 1,335 years, from the pasuk haster aster ponai, haster aster is gematria, 1,035. So Rashi works it out. The Rav Sajigal thinks that Mashiach is going to come in the year 1358. This is a good 350, 400 years after Rav Sajigal is alive. There are others who suggest that Rav Sajigon was actually choosing a date that was much closer to him. But Lemaiser, Rav Sajigon came up with a clear date of when Mashiach is going to come. Yeah.
We consider Rabbi Akiva saying that he thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach being the Chashiv of kids.
Okay, so we're going to get to Rabbi Akiva in a second. That's right. What about identifying a messianic figure? We're going to get there. Rabbi Yehuda Miparis was one of the Bali Tosos. Rabbi Yehuda Miparis. He predicted that the year 1216. I think he died in the 1230s, so I think, obviously he did it before the year 1216, but he suggested that the year 1216 and the year 1236 were going to be major years in the whole messianic plot. Doesn't specifically say what's going to happen on those times, but he says that the year 1216 and 1236. Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Ramban, first of all in his Perish on Chumash, and also in a Sefer called Sefer HaGe'ulah that the Ramban wrote, Sefer HaGe'ulah, they both suggest also the year 1358, which was the date suggested by Rashi, is going to be a messianic time period. Now, lest you think this is just the practice of Rishonim, and I'm leaving out many, many examples. Many, many people did it. The Malbim, in his Perish on Daniel, quotes how there were earlier suggestions made by Sajigon, but it obviously wasn't correct. Now, the Malbim lived not such a long time ago. Malbim was a contemporary of Rav Chaim. So, late 19th century, late 1800s. The Malbim gives two dates, one of them being 1868, Tafresh Chafches, and another one being Tafresh Ayin Gimel, 1913. So, up until recently, there are people still doing Cheshbon of the Kates, trying to suggest years that are going to be messianic time periods. We know that the years Tach V'Tat were also years that were chosen, the year that those were the years that the Chmielnytsky riots took place in Ukraine and in Poland. Those were also messianic time periods. Lots of the time periods that were the time period surrounding of Shabtai Tzvi, Reb, I shouldn't really call him Rav, around Shabtai Tzvi were also dates that were connected with the messianic time. So we have many people making a cheshbon of the Kates, and this obviously is very problematic considering all the sources that we saw in the beginning. Now, perhaps the most famous mocker in this entire sugya is the Igeres Teiman of the Rambam. The Rambam, we know, wrote an Igeres Teiman. He wrote to the Teiman community, and they were dealing with certain false Mashiachs that were running around, and they were very, very depressed because they were being persecuted. And the Rambam wrote them a very beautiful letter giving them chizuk. And in here, he speaks about the fact, he makes a number of points, and it's getting late, so I'm not going to read through it completely, but this is a very, very famous, piece, and let's take a look. I'm going to summarize for you outside the Rambam's three major points. His first point that he makes is that it's obviously impossible to know the Kates. This is the point that we already saw that he made in the end of Hilchos Malachim in Mishnah Torah. He says, and he brings his Araya, he says, even the Cheshbon of the 400 years that are seemingly explicit in the Psukim in Bereishis about when the Golus Mitzrayim is going to end, nobody knew exactly when that Golus was going to end until after it happened. And then we knew that it was connected with Yitzchak, when exactly to start counting the 400 years. But clearly, even though they knew it was 400 years, even that which was explicit in the Psukim wasn't clear. So Al Achas Kama Vakama, when the end of our Golus is very not clear, maybe some weird, wild hints in Sefer Daniel, certainly we can't possibly know when the Kates is. That's the first point that he makes. The second one he points out is that Chazal avoided it because it obviously can cause people to lose hope. And he's trying to encourage the people in Teman not to put so much stock into these messianic figures. You have these people, these charlatans who walk in, claim to be Mashiach. They start doing these tricks. They start telling everyone, you know, you should realize that when Shabtai Tzvi announced that he was Mashiach, there were many, many people who sold their property, their homes, because they felt that the coming of Mashiach was imminent. Mamish thought it was about to happen. And the Rambam is suggesting that that's the reason why Chazal told us not to be involved with it. Because it ruins our lives. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, just live your life and forget about these things. When Mashiach comes, again, we have to wait and anticipate for him to come. But to start trying to figure it out and to go through all these, this the Rambam says, it doesn't help anyone. And then he says, what about Rav Sadia? You're going to ask me, how could Rav Sadia have done it? So he says that it's Pashat, that Rav Sadia saw some type of Horah Shah. He saw that there were some type of circumstances where he had to give them some type of hope. So he told them, don't worry, Mashiach's going to come soon. I even think I have a hint. And he started to reveal to them certain things. This is what the Rambam says. Okay, why am I quoting to you this Rambam? He didn't really tell us anything that we didn't know before. What's amazing is because the Rambam says all of this, and then, in the very next paragraph, take a look at what the Rambam says in source in the second paragraph here. Aval amita sa'es al burya inamodas. We don't know. Aval yesh etzlenu kabbalah gedola. I happen to have in my family a tradition of when Mashiach's going to come. Kibalti yoso me avi shekibal me avi u me avi avi buhu kibal adaver v'chein adaver at tchilas hagolus shal Yerushalayim. So he says I have a family tradition going all the way back to Golus Yerushalayim of when Mashiach's going to come. So even though I just spent all this time telling you not to be involved with it and you shouldn't do it, I just want you to know I have this tradition in my family. And he says it's not exactly when Mashiach's going to come. It's actually a nevuah about when the return of, a Kabbalah of when the return of nevuah is going to occur. As you might have picked up when I was reading quickly through that paragraph in the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam says that one of the stages before the coming of Mashiach is the return of prophecy. But the Rambam tells us here, Kibalnu, Shezesh She'amar Bilam, Ka'esi Amar Yaakov Yisrael Ma'po'akel, in that pasuk by Bilam, Yesh Bo Sod, Shemin Ha'es Ha'hi, Yiyeh Lachshov Kiminyan Sheyesh Me'Sheyesh Me'Sheyesh Me'Bereshis Vat Osa'es, you're supposed to count how much time there was from the beginning of creation until when this statement was said at the time of Bilam. And then add that time now. In other words, if that time period was 2,000 years, so add 2,000 years, start counting 2,000 years from that time, and that's when it's going to return. Nevuah. And he goes through the Cheshbon here, and the Rambam comes out with a date. The year, it ends up being 2,488 years from Briyas Olam until that point. So you add another 2,488 years, and you get to the date 1216. Now, just so you know, the Rambam died in the year 1204. He was born in 1135, died in 1204, and he wrote this letter in 1172. So he's talking about 1216. It's around 40-somewhat years from when he wrote this letter, but when he was claiming that Nevuah would be reinstituted. Lamaisa, we have three big questions that we need to answer. And then we'll be done. Then we'll be done. Three questions. Question number one. in the face of the Ister that we saw from no less than five sources, how do we explain the fact that so many big people were involved in doing this? Number two, how can so many big people be doing something and then getting it wrong? It's one thing to be doing it and getting it right. Big person after big person got it wrong and got it wrong and got it wrong. All these days passed, no Mashiach. That's question number two. And question number three is, doesn't this whole institution of Chishuv HaKeitz just very, very strange? Isn't like Mashiach supposed to be tali on our behavior, on tshuva, on our actions? What's this whole idea of there being a time period when Mashiach's going to come? Isn't Mashiach supposed to be a result of how we act? So let's start with the last question. And the last question is the easiest answer because it's an explicit Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and Datsari Chasim and Aleph, Amar Rav Alexandroi, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Rami Ksiv. There are two psukim. One pasuk says that Mashiach's going to come bi'ita. He's going to come on time. Another one pasuk says, achishena. It's going to hasten. It's going to come early. So which one is it? Is it bi'ita or is it achishena? And we're told that there are two tracks. Zochu, if Klal Yisrael acts properly and there's zoche to Mashiach, so it'll come early. And lo zochu bi'ita. There are two tracks in getting to Mashiach. If we want to wait, maybe then we'll have to go through Gog and Magog, and there's going to be death, and there's going to be destruction, and there's going to be all of those things associated with Doomsday, Independence Day, v'chule, v'chule. And you're going to have to wait and go and survive. Sorry. You're going to have to survive through all of that. That is the Mahalach of Lo Zachu, that they are not Zocha. But if Klal Yisrael does Tshuva, Zocha, it's a whole other track. And in fact, many of the different things that we speak about, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, it's way too big for us right now, but some of those things are associated with the track of Be'ita, and some of those things are associated with the track of Achishena. Two tracks to Mashiach. So, what we can say is that all of the people who are doing the Chishuv HaKeitz, what were they trying to do, perhaps? Perhaps they were trying to cheshbin when the Be'ita Zman is. When is the eventual date? When the Rambam was sitting there in 1172 and saying, 1216, Mashiach's going to come. He was saying, that's the date, the Be'itah date. It doesn't mean you guys can't bring Mashiach early. It's not divorcing the messianic process from our behavior. No, you could still hasten things. I'm just telling you the end date. That would answer our third question. The question of, what about our own actions? Aren't we involved in the messianic process? Of course, this doesn't answer our first questions. How are they doing it? Isn't it usser? And number two, you know, the Rambam gave Be'ita date as 1216. Well, guess what? 1216 passed it. How could that have passed? How could that be the Be'ita date? So to answer this, I think we have to look at a Maral.
Well, I understand it's the other way.
Yeah, that what?
He assumes that people will be good.
Well, then that doesn't answer our third question, because what about being tali on our... You're taking it out of Bechira then. So this doesn't answer, though, our other question. Let's take a look at the Maral. What does the Maral tell us? Is that over the line? I'm sorry. What does the Maral tell us? The Maral tells us as follows. We're not going to read it inside, but the Maral tells us that all the people who were doing Chishuv HaKeitz weren't really doing Chishuv HaKeitz. They weren't really doing Chishuv HaKeitz. Rather, what were they doing? They were trying to identify Zmanei Pekuda. What are Zmanei Pekuda? Times that are Ra'ui for Mashiach to come. Times that are especially mesugal for the Geula. The Maral says they weren't doing Chishuv HaKeitz at all. They weren't even speaking about the Ito time. They weren't speaking about the Be'ito time. What were they speaking about? They were speaking about the Achishena time. And what they were saying is, certainly if we all do tshuva today, and we can bring Mashiach today, tomorrow, for sure, 100%. But I'm telling you that coming up very soon, in 2 weeks from now, is a very, very mesugal time. The stars are lined up. It's a very, very mesugal time for Mashiach. So you better start doing stuff now, because in 2 weeks we're going to be at one of those critical times. If this Maral is correct, first of all, it gives us a little bit of a perspective of what the Rambam meant, that Rav Sajigon, because he was trying to give them chizuk. What was he trying to give them chizuk? Why were all of these people trying to suggest dates? They weren't saying the Be'ito time. No, there was still plenty of time until the Be'ito time. What they were doing was saying, let's go, guys. Start getting working. Let's go. Start putting your act together. Because very soon, in a year, in 5 years, in 40 years, the messianic process, there's a time that's very, very mesugal for Mashiach. So start working. Start getting things together. Because you'll be able to take advantage of that time. This explains to us, first of all, why they were doing it. It also explains to us how come so many of them were, quote-unquote, wrong. Maybe they weren't wrong at all. Maybe the date of 1356 and 1216 and Tachtatat and all these dates that were being discussed, maybe they were very Mesugal times. But yet, Klal Yisrael didn't take advantage of it, and they failed. So the time passed. The Achishena moment passed. This we know. The Gemara tells us our great friends who returned. So Roddy pointed out, what about the fact that Rabbi Akiva identified Bar Kokhba? Rabbi Akiva was a big guy, but you know, he made a few mistakes in his life. Maybe Bar Kokhba was ra'oi to be, but Klal Yisrael wasn't Zocha. The Gemara tells us about Chizkiyo HaMelech, that Chizkiyo HaMelech was ra'oi to be Mashiach, but it didn't work out. It didn't work out in the end. We have always Zmanei Pekuda, maybe even people. Traditions brought down that in every generation, there is a person in every generation who has the koach to be Mashiach. I'm not weighing in on any political issues, but when people say that the Rebbe was Mashiach, or the Rebbe is Mashiach, or the Rebbe could have been Mashiach, maybe Enoch Hanami, maybe the Rebbe could have been. I'm not here to discuss him versus Rav Moshe Feinstein versus Rav Soloveitchik. I'm not being nichnas into that game right now. But Enoch Hanami, maybe he had the koach to be. But it passed, and it didn't work out. So this would explain then, I think we'd be able to then answer all of our questions. We would understand, how can it be they're doing it in the face of the Yisr? They're not doing it in the face of the Yisr. The Yisr is to say the end date, or to say this is a definite time that Mashiach's going to come. They were suggesting Zmanei Pekuda. How could so many people have been wrong? Well, maybe they're the questions, assuming something incorrectly. Maybe they weren't wrong. And doesn't this whole entire enterprise take away from us our personal action? So obviously not. We can certainly connect to Achishena and bring it earlier. So let's return to Yaakov, and with this we'll conclude. So why did Yaakov try to be Megal of the Ketz, and what happened? Why wasn't he successful? So like I said, the simple answer is, he wanted to be Megal of the Ketz, and he wasn't allowed because it's Usser. It's Usser. Why? Because we already pointed out, you have a Chiyuv to anticipate it every single day. The only question with this is like, well, why did Yaakov try to do it then if it's Usser? But I want to shtel to another sugya that I think maybe you can enlighten this. I'm not sure I didn't see this anywhere, but I think it's fair to connect the two. One of the Ikare Emuna of the Rambam is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was unique, and that no one else had Nevuah on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? We're familiar with that? Which one of the Ikarim? Six. Very good. Is it number six? I think it's number seven. I think six is Nevuah. I think seven. Seven, okay. So, I have a kasha for you. This kasha was asked by Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovetz Mamorim. Rav Elchanan asks, Miriam and Aaron said about Moshe Rabbeinu Lashon Hara. What did they say? They said, "What? He's divorcing his wife. What, is he different than us? We're also Nevi'im." So what were they clearly doing? Clearly, Miriam and Aaron were denying the seventh principle of the Yud Gimel Yikarim. Clearly, they're apikarsim, and they don't get any Olam Haba, because they were denying that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was different. This is Rav Elchanan's question. How can Aaron and Miriam have been over on one of the Yud-Gimel Ikarim? Either they're Apikarsim, they get an Olam Haba, or it's not one of the Ikarim. So Rav Elchanan says, no, of course it's one of the Ikarim. You know when it became one of the Ikarim? Right that moment. I don't mean right that moment, like right after, like, oh, coincidence. Right after they were done, it became an Ikar. No, when they got punished and Hashem said, don't speak to him because Moshe Rabbeinu, he's got a special relationship with me. You can't speak to him about that. That's when Hashem was teaching us that it's an Iker. So perhaps, we can suggest, not sure, that maybe Yaakov wanted to be Megal of the Ketz. It wasn't Usher yet. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Shekhinah, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching is that we're not Megal of the Ketz. Maybe it became against the rules at that moment. That's just one suggestion. I wanted to give another suggestion. Perhaps he wanted to reveal the Achishena date. He wanted to reveal not the final date, but he wanted to reveal the date that Klal Yisrael were going to be bring it on early. He saw his sons, and he was sitting there on his deathbed, and he saw the righteousness of his sons. And perhaps a little bit like Avinoam was suggesting, he looked and he said, wow, Everything's working out. All the brothers are down. They're all tzaddikim. They're doing great things. I can see that in the next few weeks, Mashiach's going to come. So he wanted to reveal to them, guys, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Mashiach's about to come. And then what happened? All of a sudden, it was taken away. It was taken away because even though he saw where it was going, this is still something that's totally on Bechira. Who knows? They could have still messed up. It wasn't the right thing to do. It wasn't smart to reveal it to them. But what did he think? What did he think? He thought, maybe I misread them. I thought they're big tzaddikim and Mashiach's about to come, so let me reveal it to them. So he was about to reveal it to them, and what happened? It was taken away from him. So he thought, oh gosh, maybe they're not really so righteous. And that's why he said to them, Shema, maybe one of you isn't... And he said, Shema Yisrael, and they said, Baruch Shem Kol Malchusoy, or they said, Shema Yisrael. He said, Baruch Shem Kol Malchusoy Lam Ba'ed. Don't worry, Abba, we really are okay. We are tzaddikim, it's beseder. But yet, we're still not to be revealed to Kates. Maybe we can suggest this, which shows a little bit of behind the scenes of what's going on. What the Shakla Vitaryu was between Yaakov and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the sons and the brothers and why it was taken away. But Lamaisa, whichever Peshat is correct, we still remains a question. If anyone finds it in the Mefarshe, HaRashi, Mefarshe, the Medrash, Mefarshim, please let me know why Yaakov, it was taken away from him. But hopefully we've gotten a little bit of an understanding and appreciation of the Inyan of Cheshbon HaKeitz. And we know a little bit now of our own glorious and illustrious history of the attempts. And very important, perhaps we can identify with and internalize this Maharal, the Inyan, that there are times that are especially Mesugal. We're not necessarily aware of when those times are. So, Bezos Hashem, we'll all work hard. This is, normally people throw this in the end of the Shir, you know, like Mashiach should come. But this, and you know, sometimes you roll your eyes, like, okay, fine, yeah, Mashiach should come, very nice. Nice way to end the Shir. But for this Shir, it's especially appropriate that we should say that Bezos Hashem, we should all work hard, work on ourselves, work on our midos, work on our learning, try to develop ourselves and help Klal Yisrael, and we should all be Zochet Karov Mamish to be us Gold Tzedek.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.